Thanks to the band for that. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you've gone to see maybe a sports hero or maybe a movie star. I don't know if you've ever met a movie star or a political leader, if you ever met them in person, and you've kind of left a little bit unimpressed. Like, is that all? In my former job, I was once part of a group that we went to do some lobbying on at Capitol Hill, and we met with this U.S. senator. I won't give you his name, but you see him a lot on TV. And we were ushered into this fancy conference room on the Capitol building. And a few minutes later, he comes in with a staffer or two and sits down with us. And he was shorter and rounder and way more just tired looking than he is on TV. And what he had to say was less than inspiring. In fact, really rather banal. He met with us for a few minutes and then he left, and I thought, is that it? Is that all? This is the guy who seems so energetic and so smart and so prepared and larger than life on TV. Is that all? With Jesus, it seems to be kind of the opposite. Our culture, instead of building him up, often just seems like we're just kind of constantly taking him down a peg. His miracles, these wondrous signs that he does, well, they just get kind of explained away. Turned water into wine, well, it's probably just red, dirty water or something. Some people just try to explain things like that away. Some people claim that his teachings, oh, well, they're really not that original. They're not all that unique. They're not all that profound. There's a lot of religious teachers out there. You can go listen to any of them. You might follow any of them to get to heaven or whatever that is, if there even is a heaven. Just gets all kind of watered down. So Nicodemus approaches Jesus by night. I think assuming kind of something like this. He doesn't want to go there during the day when somebody might see him. But he does come. He does come. And he goes to seek not some lobbying thing, but I don't think. But he goes to ask some questions, some scholarly questions, some theological questions. He's a teacher of Israel. And Nicodemus, what he thinks gives him some credit. Apparently, he thinks this is a generous interpretation of Jesus' miracles. He says, nobody can do these signs. The evangelist John calls these miracles signs. Nobody can do these signs unless God is with him. You see, Nicodemus doesn't quite get it yet. His naturalistic interpretation of Jesus and his work is too narrow, too earthly, too small. See, Jesus doesn't merely have God with him. He is the Son of God come down to earth. Nicodemus really doesn't get it. Jesus says, the Son of Man is going to be the one who's lifted up. And what Jesus means is he's going to be lifted up on the cross. Like that bronze serpent was in, for the children of Israel in Numbers 21 with Moses. He's going to be lifted up on the cross. to draw all men to himself. That's how Jesus would be lifted up. Lifted up so that anyone who looked upon him and only him would be saved. The lifting up of the Son of Man, of Jesus, is the saving work of God. But that saving work, that lifting up of the Son of Man on the cross and the giving of new life from above by water and the Spirit so that we may have eternal life, doesn't mean that we just wait around for heaven to come to us or for us to be taken into heaven, not caring what we do and what we don't do. We have been born from above to do the truth. Our deeds show that we're in the light, indeed that they have been done in the light because they have been done through the one who is from above. They are literally done in Christ, done in God. Life in Christ, life as one who is born again, born of water and the Spirit, as Jesus says, is not some kind of just living a smarter existence. It's way more than that. It's not merely attaining to some new knowledge or some extra knowledge, but it's a life lived from above. It's something that's fundamentally different from those who live their lives from below, those who are not born from above. As Jesus says, they do wicked things. And what does this mean? Well, you could say that all these wicked things that happen outside this church door, all those wicked things out in the world, all those societal problems, well, yeah, that's part of it. But it's way more personal than that. You see, ever since Adam and Eve's fall from in the Garden of Eden, the devil has dominated this whole world, all of it, and all of us. That's why it's personal. All of us are born into Satan's kingdom. And we are by nature enemies of God. We are by nature opposed to God's kingdom. That's why Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Our earthly birth, our fleshly birth, is why we do wicked things. We start there in the first place. In the verse at the end of chapter 2, right before our text today, Jesus reminds us, now John reminds us, he puts it this way. This is what Jesus knows about you and me. Listen to this. He says, Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them, the people who believed in his name because of just his miracles. They saw his miracles and said, okay, that's the guy. This is Nicodemus. Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. He knew all people. That includes you and me. And he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. He knows what's in here, in your heart, my heart. The all-knowing Christ sees that superficial faith that may be based just on his miracles. A superficial faith that doesn't hear his call for repentance and to know who you truly are in the sight of God. And an invitation to trust wholly and solely in him. This is where Nicodemus is coming from. by night. How about you? After our text, Jesus continues saying, "Whoever believes in Him, the Son of Man who goes to the cross for you, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be seen clearly that his works have been carried out in God." Brothers and sisters in Christ, coming into the light is what it means to be born again. In the Greek, it's anothen, which means to be born from above. This is what Jesus is talking about. You need to be born from above, born of God. Not just born from your mom, but born of God. Born by water and the Spirit. Water and the Spirit point to Christian baptism. As St. Augustine says, we are born spiritually then, and in spirit we are born by the Word and the Sacrament. In this world that we come from, that we live in and that we're still a part of, reason, our own reason and our own free will, we might be able to live an outwardly decent life to a certain extent. But only the Holy Spirit causes a person to be born anew and born from above and to have inwardly a different heart and mind and soul and natural desire. To actually desire the things of God. That only comes from the Holy Spirit. It only comes from God. The goal of Jesus in this text is to move us, His born from above people, those who are born of water and the Spirit, to confident living in Him, to living by His power, to living focused on one, the one who is lifted up, the one in whom we finally do the truth. And this is what it looks like, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've ever been to a funeral, or if you go to the next funeral that you have an opportunity to go to, maybe from someone that you love, someone that you dearly love, and maybe before you go to that funeral, or you come back from it, and you are just, all you could do is cry. You're actually finally understanding what the consequence of our sin is, of our sinful nature. It's death. And at that moment, you're actually finally maybe coming close to the repentance that Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus doesn't see what Jesus is talking about until he sees Jesus on the cross. Nicodemus is the one who goes to Pilate and says, "He's dead. Can I take his body down from the cross now?" That's this Nicodemus. This Nicodemus who comes at night now. He's the one who takes Jesus' body down from the cross and buries it. Do you think he was crying? Do you think he knew then what Jesus was talking about, the one who would be lifted up on the cross, the Son of Man, the innocent one who died for your sin and mine. That is what it is to stand in the truth. The truth of who you are without Christ. And how much you desperately need Him as your Savior. Him and only Him. He goes to the cross for you. John says it beautifully. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish. Should not perish. But have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. So that in holy baptism, you may be born again by water and the Word. Born from above. To live a life in Christ based on His righteousness. Because you have nothing. But you have everything in Him. He invites you. The door is open to all who are baptized and believed to the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God, to live in the kingdom of God, to have eternal life, to be a new creature. That's what He gives you in Christ, the one who is lifted up, the very Son of God. The very Son of God invades this sinful world, this kingdom of Satan, and He establishes His reign. And it starts with the cross. And God continues to advance His work in the lives of every congregation that's born of water and the Word. And in the lives of every Christian who is baptized into Christ. Baptized from above. Born of water and the Word. Living in faith. Trusting in that forgiveness won for you by Christ. Delivered to you in holy baptism. And wherever that story of Jesus Christ is shared, wherever that message of forgiveness and grace is shared, the kingdom of God advances. The Holy Spirit works to expand God's rule of grace and forgiveness. Wherever Jesus is, wherever you are in faith in the only Son of God sent for you to save you. God grants this to us in baptism through Jesus Christ our Lord. In His name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.